So that's the rest of our tour of multiple condition ANOVA analyses. Now what we're going to do is turn our attention to multiple group chi-square. All of the logic is going to be the same. Why we have multiple condition designs, what are the kinds of conditions we might have, all of that's the same. The only thing that's changed is now our dependent variable is qualitative. That's it. I want you to understand this and be comfortable with this because more and more often we are using qualitative and categorical dependent variables. Decisions that people made, ways that they identify themselves, categories that people fit into. We have rediscovered the glory of different kinds of variables. Now, that's the positive part. The rest of today's lecture is a little bit disappointing because you can't push chi-square quite as far as you can push ANOVA. There are times when we are going to come down, we've done all the tests we can do, and we have to look at the data and make a judgment call. We haven't had to do that before. We've always had a significance test for every decision we have to make because that's the way the system is set up. For every hypothesis that we have, it comes from a particular design with a particular kind of data and a particular kind of measurement of those data and a particular kind of hypothesis, and we pick and choose our statistical model so we can get two things. A p-value that tells us the probability of a type 1 error if we reject the null, and an effect size so we can think about how big the effect probably is. And then we deal with when those smiley face and frowny face. Now, for the first time, we're going to run into occasions when we've done all the analyses we can and it's just not fully answered yet. Now, I'm going to show you a way to get all the answers, but I'm going to tell you now and mention several times that this is not what we would call a consistently agreed upon analysis. There's a way that you can do this last layer of testing, but not everybody likes it. And I'll explain to you why not everybody likes it. And I kind of told you this was coming a long time ago. We've got three kinds of things. We've got math. Sometimes it's math. That's all there is to it, math. There's only one of them, math. Other times we have deeply held conventions, like P of 0.05. Deeply held doesn't mean some people don't go against it, doesn't mean it shouldn't continue to be evaluated. But other times we have competing conventions, and this is one of those. We're going to get to a certain point, we're going to have to decide whether this additional statistical analysis that gives us a result in a p-value is a good idea or not, given its limitations. One of the things I love about teaching chi-squares is one of the first times that we've got to shift you, not just on the design side, but on the analysis side, closer and closer to the art and craft of data analysis. Up until now, it's been fairly mechanistic. You pick the right model, you run the right model, you don't screw it up, and we're good. Now, you're going to have active decisions to make that you're going to have to explain to other people and explain the results of. So when do you use ANOVA and when do you use chi-square? Same as before, ANOVA is a between group design with a qualitative DV. Chi-square is a between group design with a, I said qualitative, didn't I? Read the blue parts, Cal. ANOVA is a between groups design with quantitative DV. Chi-square is a between groups design with qualitative or categorical DV. Now some of you have already caught me because you're saying to yourself, but we have two ANOVAs. We have between and within ANOVA. You're only talking about later. I will explain to you one particular model that allows repeated measures with a categorical data. It's a whole different model than either ANOVA or chi-square. I will teach it to you. But right now, we are going to be limited to within groups designs that have a quantitative DV and fit into within groups ANOVA. There are some really cool models out there for repeated measures designs with qualitative data, but they are beyond our ken right now. Okay? If I can get ANOVA to make sense as a between groups design, if you need the repeated measures within groups designs with qualitative data, We can teach it to you, and you'll piggyback on what you've learned from chi-square. But it's not one of the classic models, and so we're going to just sort of wave at it on the way by. And here's what I've been saying, is that quantitative variables have long been common. We're finally starting to see more and more use of qualitative variables, and it's awesome and important. So here's the same example that we used before. The difference is, instead of having a rating of how comfortable you are, we simply ask people whether they were comfortable or not. And so we end up with a chi-square instead of an ANOVA. It's the same design. It's the same functional result. We have a relationship between type of treatment and comfort, and we can see that the treatment group is more comfortable than the control group. 45 out of 55 is more than 25 out of 50. And once again, just to take you back to the design side of things, we're about to make a causal statement. The question is, which causal statement can we make? The thing to notice is that there are two differences between the treatment and the control. The treatment has two elements to it. The control is a no-treatment control with no elements. So we can say the treatment causes a difference than the control, but we can't pick which element makes that causal impact. If we wanted to, once again, we would need the more complete design that gives us all of the comparisons we need to test that hypothesis. We said treatment works because of the cognitive self-appraisal. That means I need the comparison of treatment and self-appraisal. I need the comparison of treatment and group therapy. So far, I need three conditions in this study. The group therapy doesn't really contribute anything. That means now I need the fourth condition of the no treatment control to compare to the group therapy, which shouldn't do anything by itself. And so I end up with these four conditions. I don't start with these four conditions. I need these four conditions in order to test that research hypothesis. And that's the point I was trying to make before. You start with your hypotheses. The hypotheses tell you the comparisons that you need. The comparisons tell you the conditions that you need. Those conditions are your design. I want to really try and talk you into that because we tend to design it backwards. And when we design things backwards, we have an increasing number of pairwise comparisons that we don't have hypotheses about them. And every once in a while, you'll end up with a condition that you don't have a hypothesis comparing it to anything. Then you have to decide whether you save the money and not run it, or if you really care about the exploratory results, or if maybe you go back to the literature and see if maybe you didn't miss something, and there are bits of the literature that could lead to a hypothesis comparing that condition to others.